CBS News Brief. This is Elon Musk's last day with Doge. He says he hasn't always seen eye to eye with the administration and told CBS Sunday Morning.
I don't want to, you know, speak up against the administration, but I don't want to. I also don't want to take responsibility for everything the administration's doing.
Musk will be alongside President Trump for a joint news conference this afternoon. The latest CBS News poll found a majority of Americans are still struggling when it comes to their money.
Three quarters saying that their income is still not keeping up with inflation. And it's been what's weighing on people's evaluations of the economy for years now.
Last year's runner-up is this year's winner at the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
Hey, Claire C. Small. E-C-L-A-I.
That's 13-year-old Faison Zaki from Allen, Texas. That final winning word, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is a clearing up of something obscure. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Speaking of privileged cluelessness, actress Jenna Ortega says she was unhappy after her role in Wednesday catapulted her to fame. The rich 22-year-old actress told Harper's Bazaar becoming famous was intense and scary. She also said she was unhappy playing a schoolgirl in the show when she was becoming a young woman in real life, which she feared would not allow people to take her seriously. Such a big fat bummer. I'm sure Starbucks is hiring. Actress Felicity Huffman went on Good Morning America to talk about her new and most likely terrible Lifetime film. While being interviewed, she reacted to the news that Kerry Washington is part of a new Desperate Housewives reboot. She said it was great that they are redoing Wisteria Lane for women of color. This is the same woman who cheated to get her own privileged but not so bright daughter into college, most likely taking a spot away from someone who needed it more or a person of color. It is good that she at least seems okay with TV people of color getting ahead. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers in Philly.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight. The Brewers open a three-game series against the Phillies, the best team in the National League so far this season. But manager Pat Murphy is encouraged after the crew swept the Red Sox this week in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament to who they are. I talk about that a lot, like who these people are. Who is Bryce Turang? Who is Jackson Chourio? Who is William Contreras and Yelich? And that's what makes me believe in the team is who they are.
In golf, the U.S. Women's Open continues at Erin Hills near Hartford, Wisconsin. NFL at OTAs, we met Aaron Banks, the Packers' new left guard, who signed a four-year, $77 million deal in free agency and talked about finding out he was headed from the 49ers to Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get a lot of contact from my agent until the window opened on that Monday, and he hit me and was like, hey, we got good news, think cheese. So I was like, all right, deal's done. All right, sounds good.
That's Packers left guard Aaron Banks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Friday. Welcome in. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. So glad you could join us. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, will paint you a picture with weather for the weekend. Doesn't look too bad from the forecast I'm looking at right now. Today should see some sunny skies, but by the time we get to about 4 o'clock, could see showers or even a thunderstorm pop up across the state. Daytime highs today right around 78 with winds out of the northwest, 5 to 15 miles an hour, but then gusting as high as 25 miles an hour. Tonight, like I said, rain occurring overnight. Chance of precipitation right around 40%, they say. Saturday, some patchy smoke before 7 in the morning. Daytime highs tomorrow, 74 under sunny skies. Sunday, sunshine, 78. Monday, sunshine and 87. Like I said, Stu will explain what's going on with that smoke, as well as what's coming our way weather-wise. And what's also coming your way this morning, you've heard about how the Ivy League schools are trying to protect their federal funding. Well, guess what? Wisconsin keeping an eye on those conversations and getting ready to welcome one of the largest incoming classes of freshmen on the UW-Madison College of Ag and Life Sciences campus that they've seen. Stephanie Hoff will join us with a conversation about that.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and this Washington Watch News Update is brought to you by the Wisconsin Soybean Association. They're dedicated to ensuring policies are in place for the future of soybean farmers. And when most people think of NASA, they just think they do work looking at planets, stars, and other things in the great unknown of space. But they also help out a lot in agriculture. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo, and Karen St. Germain, the Director of Earth Science for NASA, is here to give some of the details on this work that they do with agriculture and some things that the USDA has asked them to help with.
Well, you know, there's some really obvious ways that NASA helps. We build the weather satellites, for example. And I know how important weather information is to farmers and ranchers. But there are lots of measurements we make about the Earth system that are really important for farming in different ways. Some of those are we have instruments that measure soil moisture at the surface, root zone, and even groundwater. We can even measure changes in aquifer depletion and refill or recharge. We can measure crop health from space and identify different types of crops. This is important in the U.S., but also to understand what producers are growing around the world because, of course, at least for commodity agriculture, our farmers are selling their grain on a world market. So it's really important to understand not just what's happening at home, but what's happening around the world. And a lot of that information gets delivered to farmers through other agencies like NOAA or like the Department of Agriculture. And that's okay with us. We don't mind being the engine behind a lot of these services.
And across the U.S., obviously, there's a lot of different crops and things that are grown. How do you differentiate some of the data that you get to know if it's going to be good for certain crops in certain areas and versus others?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, of course, we do a lot of work with commodity agriculture because that's by area. That's the biggest, I'll say, target user group. But we also do a lot of work in states like California and upstate New York, where they're growing fruits, nuts, grapes for both juice and wine. You know, we're growing these specialty crops, and we to figure out how we can help them, we actually have to talk to the producers themselves to really understand what are the challenges that they face, and is there a way that remote sensing can help them by providing information that they might not have at their fingertips through traditional means.
and another thing that NASA works on to help with agriculture is the FEAP program. Could you give an explanation for people on what that is?
Yeah, in a nutshell, FEAP is bringing together working farms, working farmers, working ranchers with scientists who are deeply committed to asking those questions and finding answers that those producers need. So it's just a much tighter relationship between farmers themselves and scientists going after solutions that will have the most impact. And that's really one of the most important things. Scientists can go after all kinds of questions and try to solve all kinds of problems, but it only matters if it matters to the farmer or rancher.
And earlier we were discussing more about how fires affect in agriculture, and being from Wisconsin, we had a lot of smoke from Canadian fires over the last couple of years. How do you look at that to kind of see how that's affecting various agriculture sectors and states?
Yeah, fires have wide-ranging effects. I mean, for one thing, they can create their own weather, but they also can dramatically change the air quality, and that can have an effect on crops. We're in the early days of really understanding those kinds of impacts. And of course, another big problem is it can have these poor air quality can have an enormous impact on the people working on the farms too. So making sure that they have good air quality information and in particular forecasting so that they can plan their operations to keep their people safe as well.
How often are you getting asked by the USDA to help with various different things to help them make decisions?
Yeah, we do. We have a long history of collaborating with USDA. A lot of our data goes into their standard reporting, like the WASDE, for example. But we also do agriculture work independent of the Department of Agriculture, and that's the kind of work that we're doing in the Acres program with FEAP and so forth. In many of those cases, our partners are universities, land-grant universities, extension programs. So we work with a variety of different partners from the federal level to the state and local all the way down to the family farms themselves.
And if we take a look into the future using crystal ball, what's coming up next for NASA? What do you expect to see next?
Well, the very next thing we've got coming up is the NISAR launch. NISAR is a new radar system. It'll be the most sophisticated radar system we've ever launched. It's a partnership with the Indian Space Agency. And NISAR is going to show us anytime something structurally changes. So whether that is a crop that used to stand tall is now been harvested, or it could be glacial fronts moving. It could be land moving because of an earthquake or a volcano. Anytime something that has physical structure changes, NISAR will be able to see it. It will also be able to measure soil moisture. Brad Dorn, who runs our agriculture program, was just showing this group a comparison of the spatial resolution. That means what's the spatial fidelity with which we'll have the soil moisture information. Is that at the scale where a farmer can use it to manage their fields? And that answer will be absolutely yes with NISAR. Very high fidelity soil moisture, as well as information about crop height and health and so forth.
And you're mentioning that it will detect the structure changes. Is this something that maybe NRCS will be able to use to see erosion throughout years?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We have an array of satellites that measure surface height and biomass above the surface. So, yeah, we will absolutely be able to see changes over time in the growing conditions, right? Erosion and changes in the land surface. Absolutely.
And before I let you go here, is there anything else that you'd like to add for me to take back home to our Wisconsin producers?
Well, we would love to, for all of your Wisconsin producers, to get involved with NASA programs, with the Acres program, but just in general, check out what we've got. We want to hear from you. We want to help you solve your problems, and come join us.
St. Germain also says that these satellites that they send up range from the size of a shoebox all the way to bigger than a school bus. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This morning, and we want to start off by giving a big shout out to a fella that many in the dairy industry know. If you're connected with World Dairy Expo, you know him. Tom Morris from up by New Richmond has been named the Distinguished Leadership Award recipient by Holstein Association USA. He'll be picking up the honor down in St. Louis during their national convention. I've known Tom and his wife Sandy, their farm, Deronda Farms. They've got a wonderful lineup of registered Holsteins. And Stu, World Dairy Expo, if you walk near the Holsteins, you'll see Tom. He routinely lines up. I think they said he's done 35 World Classic sales. One of the first guys that had the perspective of getting international groups together to buy some of our U.S. genetics during World Dairy Expo. So, and if you ever hear his voice, you never forget Tom's. You know how it is with an auctioneer. You never forget their voice. And Tom's got one of
distinction. You know them.
Yes, for sure. So super happy for him and his wife, Sandy, and the whole crew that helped to put together Cattle Connection and the like. The Distinguished Leadership Award from Holstein Association USA. Good way to start off our Friday. I'm sure that you've got more good news for us.
I've got more good news. Yeah, there's smoke. How about that?
Yeah, what is that? I heard Ben talking about it, too. What is this smoke thing that suddenly popped up in our forecast, and where is it coming from?
It is smoke from Canadian wildfires.
Again?
Yep, and it has a lot to do with the fact that a cool front is going to drop in from the north today and pass right through Wisconsin, and that smoky air is going to mix in. There is an air quality advisory for the entire state of Wisconsin, 6 a.m. today until 6 a.m. tomorrow. I think some of the worst conditions, if you will, may be in about the eastern half of Wisconsin, but it's going to be smoky. If you have breathing issues, you're probably going to notice it this afternoon as that air gets a little stale and has that smoky element to it. So keep that in mind as you're out and about working today. Maybe another good thing is as that smoke really gets to move into the area, we may talk more about some rain chance. And that also will develop a bit later today. Oh, far northern Wisconsin, maybe in a few hours, there's some rain out over the western tip of Lake Superior already. That may drop down into Park Falls, Hayward, that area in a few hours. But I don't expect we'll see rain in other places until we look toward afternoon and into the evening hours. At most, a tenth of an inch or two, the chance of severe weather, a very slight chance, but it does exist in the eastern parts of Wisconsin. There's been some indication of winds and maybe some hail in eastern Wisconsin. Pay attention to that as we head toward late afternoon or evening in case that really is going to brew up and be something we talk about. But the rain drops on through. And the better news, we dry it out for the weekend again, and temperatures, although they may still be a little bit cooler, well, almost like normal for Saturday, they'll start to moderate Sunday, Monday. We're talking about 80s. There could be a 90 in northwest Wisconsin by Monday. Yes, northwest Wisconsin, 90 degrees. Very warm getting next week underway. Fortunately enough, another system will begin to approach, and that chance of some rain a little later Tuesday toward Tuesday night and some cool air building back in. We get back to more normal temps once we make our way on through Tuesday into Wednesday and Thursday, but there could be a little rain to mix in at that time too. So, you know, we're not going to get it really dry around here. That's not a real bad feature, but we are going to have that little rain today and then some warm weather on into next week. I'll check forecast details right after this.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit WISoybean.org.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Sarbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
All right. Aside from the smoke, what else can we expect this weekend, Stu?
Well, keep in mind that air quality advisory, but I'd expect that we'll see some rain developing today. May not be until the mid-late parts of the afternoon, especially if you're in the south. And I expect some sunshine west, a few more clouds east today. Temperatures, though, very pleasant, like normal today, in the mid and upper 70s, almost 80 in the west, with winds that will become northwest with the passage of that front more southerly this morning, becoming northwest later today, only about 5 to 15. That rain chance yet for a time this evening, and smoke, of course, and we start to clear it a bit, clearing to partly cloudy skies overnight. We drop back into the low 50s and even 40s in the north. The northwest winds 5 to 15. And then the weekend. Sunny Saturday, a lot of low and mid 70s, and mostly sunny on Sunday, mid and upper 70s, could be an 80 in the northwest. And like I said, Pam, 80s on Monday. They're indicating northwest Wisconsin may break 90 come Monday.
Wow. From 40s to 90s. Yippee. Welcome to Wisconsin. All
it's
right.
That's spring in Wisconsin, you know.
But you think that that smoke will pass over the state just today, not linger necessarily?
It may linger early tomorrow, but I think once we get that north breeze, it should start to clear out.
I didn't even realize they had those drastic fires in Canada again.
They aren't that big like they have been. It's just the perfect setup with that cool front today. So.
Okay, gotcha. All right,
be
buddy.
Smart.
Yeah, sounds good. Always try.
Yes.
Catch up with you on Monday.
Got it. See ya.
All right. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, along with us, your Compure Financial ag weather update. Compure Financial is your partner in agriculture and in the rural lifestyle you're looking for. Find more details at compure.com. Hey, do you have an electronic fence for your pets? You know, one of those wireless deals? Guess what? Farmers are looking to use that on the farm. Stick around for those details on a Friday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Some people seem to forget that the Me Too movement was supposed to change things for the better. According to a new lawsuit being filed, Kevin Costner is not one of them. A 34-year-old female stunt performer on Costner's bomb, Horizon, an American Saga Chapter 2, alleges she was a victim of sexual discrimination, harassment, and the creation of a hostile work environment, according to the New York Post. Costner and his legal team are denying all allegations and probably trying to forget that the movie even exists. Costner and his legal team are denying all allegations and probably trying to forget that this clunker of a movie even exists. In reboots that don't need to happen, especially for shows that ran too long in the first place news, Duck Dynasty is coming back. I know what you're thinking. Oh, joy. The Robertson family are the marketing geniuses who pretended to be hillbillies to get actual hillbilly viewers. Duck Dynasty The Revival premieres June 1st on A&E and is already renewed for a season 2. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers in Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight. The Brewers open a 3-game series against the Phillies, the best team in the National League so far this season. But manager Pat Murphy is encouraged after the crew swept the Red Sox this week in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament to who they are. I talk about that a lot, like who these people are. Who is Bryce Turang? Who is Jackson Chourio? Who is William Contreras and Yelich? And that's what makes me believe in the team is who they are.
In golf, the U.S. Women's Open continues at Aaron Hills near Hartford, Wisconsin. NFL at OTAs, we met Aaron Banks, the Packers' new left guard, who signed a 4-year, $77 million deal in free agency and talked about finding out he was headed from the 49ers to Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get a lot of contact from my agent until the window opened on that Monday, and he hit me and was like, hey, we got good news, think cheese. So I was like, all right, deal's done. All right, sounds good.
That's Packers left guard Aaron Banks. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like her 15th. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the chef of love, Chef Gennard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I think we all expect them to be back to at Wisconsin.
Well, we've all seen the headlines. Ivy League schools that are losing their federal funding. Certain research areas that are also losing federal funding. That weighs heavy on the minds of educators at some of the largest universities, including the University of Wisconsin-Madison, College of Ag and Life Sciences. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Coming up, Stephanie Hoff is going to have a conversation with Glenda Gillespie. She is the dean of the College of Ag and Life Sciences. Very excited about welcoming a large incoming freshman class this fall, but still very concerned trying to navigate what research projects find favor with the federal government and which ones are at risk. That's some of the news on the way. This the 30th day of May. Let's see, on this day back in 1860, the very first street railway cars run in Milwaukee. Two cars that were drawn by a team of four horses. It was called the River and Lakeshore Street Railway. They had track for the cars that was laid in early May from East Water Street north to Division Street. The first street railway cars run in Milwaukee starting on this day back in 1860. On this day, 1911, the very first Indianapolis 500 race was held. And now you know. Well, we want you to know that technology is definitely influencing the face of production agriculture. And some of that technology might be something you're already familiar with. How many of you have pets? How many of you use an electronic fence to control those pets? Well, guess what? That same kind of technology is now being proposed for animal agriculture. If you stop and think about it, fencing is pretty much impossible if you're in the West, where cattle, horses, sheep can range great distances, literally sections of ground at a time. But how do you control those animals? How do you keep them where you want them to be? Well, now it looks like virtual fencing is improving to the point where some farmers are considering it. Actually, right now, a professor of animal and food science at Oklahoma State University is working on that technology and building virtual fencing systems that farmers can use anywhere. Dr. Ryan Reuter is that professor.
And essentially it works to digitally contain your cattle where you want them rather than physically containing them with a physical fence. So it works pretty similar to how virtual fence works, containing pets, containing their dog in the yard. With a lot of those systems, you bury a wire around the perimeter and the collar interacts with the radio signals from that wire. And that's not the way that virtual fence works for cattle production. It's based all on GPS. So we put a collar on the cows or sheep or goats, and that collar has a GPS chip in it, and so it communicates with the satellites, knows where it is. With software, you draw on the computer on a map where you want the animals to stay, and that collar works to contain the animals in the area that you've defined on the map solely based on GPS. So you don't need any wire, any physical infrastructure in the pasture at all. So it's pretty interesting new technology.
Wow, how about that? If you've ever chased cattle in the middle of the night, you know how virtual fencing might be a great answer. That's Dr. Ryan Reuter, professor of animal and food sciences at Oklahoma State University. Now, he says, although it may sound great at first blush, if you're a pet owner that's used kind of a virtual fence, you know you have to train that pet. Well, according to Reuter, farmers would have to kind of do the same with their livestock.
It is pretty effective once you get animals trained. There are a few animals that we found that always want to challenge the fence. So you can imagine how there's always those animals in a group. Sometimes we need to cull an animal or two that won't train to our fence. But most animals do pretty well adapting to it and being compliant with the fence.
Now, just like the animals have to change how they look at fencing and react to a virtual fence, farmers are going to have to change the way they handle animals and the way they think about virtual fencing.
There's a little bit of a difference in mindset to think about when you're using virtual fence. With a physical fence, it's kind of a hard black and white line, and animals are either in the pasture or they've broken through and are out of the pasture. With virtual fence, we don't recommend it for perimeter fence yet. We're only really recommending it for interior pasture divisions and grazing management, those things like that. And you have to be willing to tolerate that it's shades of gray. And so some animals are going to be over the boundary slightly some of the time.
Again, this fella is Dr. Ryan Reuter. He is a professor of animal and food sciences at Oklahoma State University, talking about virtual fencing. And he explains a couple of the benefits that they're really looking at as far as animal agriculture and a little peace of mind for the farmers that want to use it.
One of the big benefits is in areas where you need to build, you're going to need to replace or build physical fence, depending on the geography that and the topography, the terrain that you're having to build that fence in. The physical fence just has gotten really, really expensive in terms of materials and labor to put in pasture division fences. And in some cases, virtual fence is cheaper than putting in physical fence in those really challenging terrains.
Ah, yeah. Nobody gets excited about fixing fence, that's for sure. Thank you, Dr. Ryan Reuter, professor down at Oklahoma State University. What do you think? Would you be game to try virtual fencing with your livestock? How is it working out for your animal, your dog? Maybe you're already using it. I have that question posed for our talk text line this morning. That's 877-301-FARM. Let me know, 877-301-3276. So far on a Friday morning, looks like the Dow Jones Industrial Average still down a little bit. Our commodities are mixed. Markets are next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Sarbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
Yeah, warmer weather on the way for the weekend. That should help us out when it comes to field crops, as well as your garden, maybe even your lawn. A lot of people struggle trying to get that lawn established, trying to keep the weeds out. Doug Soldat is one of those. He's our University Extension turf specialist and admits that his personal lawn is a challenge. And Soldat says if you're struggling trying to establish a nice lawn, take a look at the bag of seed you're using first.
Yeah, grass seed is, that's probably one of the most important things you can do is buy good grass seed. And it takes a little bit of looking at the labels and understanding what you're buying, because the marketing stuff on the front of the bags, like Sunny Spot, Shady's Place, that's okay, but you really want to look at the labels. The best grass varieties and species for Wisconsin are Kentucky Bluegrass and Fine Fescue. And Fine Fescue, there's actually a collection of them. Red Fescue, Hard Fescue, Chewing's Fescue, Sheep Fescue, they're all about the same and pretty good. And when I'm buying a grass seed mixture, I'm looking for a combination of Kentucky Bluegrass and those Fine Fescues.
There you go, from the expert. That's Doug Soldat. He's our University Extension turfgrass specialist. Probably hear more from him on the continuation of taking care of that lawn next week. So markets and overnight electronic trade this morning, not a lot to talk about. Dow Jones Industrial Average currently looks about 10 points lower. The commodities are mixed. July corn on a Friday morning, currently 2 cents stronger. December new crops up a penny at 442 and a quarter. July soybeans are down three right now. November new crop down two and a quarter at 1035. July wheat, that's up three and a half. $5.37.5 per pound. We talked yesterday with Ryan Yonkman about the red hot butter market that the United States is capitalizing on. Well, apparently right out of his mouth to the ears on the market, because butter yesterday dropped 7 cents to $2.45.5. 40 pound block cheese on Thursday was down a quarter at $1.94.75, but the barrel cheese did gain a half at $1.87 on the day. Fluid milk contracts and overnight activity. Right now, the June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 3 at 19.13. July, that's up a nickel right now at 19.57 a hundredweight. All right, June dairy celebrations are about to commence. Tomorrow morning, Stephanie Hoff and Ben Jarbo welcome you to the Green County Breakfast on the Farm. Heaven Hill Dairy, just outside of Monroe, reminding you to take the shuttle from the Walmart parking lot out to the farm. Save the fields. Sunday, Dodge County Dairy Brunch in Fox Lake at Plum Creek Dairy. The Lemoness family inviting you to come out. And remember, all the June dairy events can be found at wisconsindairy.org, wisconsindairy.org. Up next, it's a challenging time for educators on the national scene, trying to figure out what federal funding they'll keep and what research projects will move forward. Stephanie Haas visiting with Glenda Gillespie, Dean of the College of Ag and Life Sciences, on those challenges next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a time to pause and remember your mental health is as important as your physical health. Jeff Olson's son struggled with stress and anxiety, and this father from the UP says he's speaking out to save lives.
He came to us, asked for help as a junior in high school, fought it for 3 more years, had a couple suicide attempts in between there. The anxiety and depression was too much for him, and he ended up taking his life. My wife and I felt the need to speak up and not hide this in hopes of educating people so they didn't have to go through what my son Daniel went through.
If you're struggling, you are not alone. Reaching out is a sign of strength, not weakness. The Suicide or Crisis Lifeline is available 24/7. You could call or text 988 anytime. Again, 988. Let's choose to connect and care for ourselves and others this month and every month. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Chef of Love, Chef Jannard, TV host and restaurateur. My grandparents harvested their land to sell food and shared its overflowing bounty with our community. Grandma said, for every yam we pick, we give one away. In the world they cultivated, I love preparing and eating dinner with my family on Sundays. When our resources changed, food assistance programs sustained us. They gave me fuel to start my first culinary business at 16 years old and inspiration to donate the extra food in my community. Through my life, I've developed an appetite to work with others to ensure everyone has access to the nutritious food we need to thrive. Together, we can help end hunger. Come on, join the movement with Feeding America by volunteering, donating, and advocating. Learn more at feedingamerica.org/act now.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And agriculture agencies face financial pressure, Dean Gillespie offers perspective.
Well, it's really important for the College of Ag and Life Sciences because we are an engine of research and discovery. And that research and discovery serves the state of Wisconsin and beyond. And most of that research is funded by federal dollars. So changes in that federal funding landscape could dramatically impact how we carry out our missions.
Has the college seen any changes to date based on those discussions?
Yes, we've seen some stop work order and some funding freezes. We are waiting. USDA is in critical conversations right now about how they might economize. And the sorts of things that they may or may not do are the things that we're most concerned about right now.
Secretary Brooke Rolla has called it right-sizing, but that might mean that there's less research dollars available. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I think any budget cuts to USDA could trickle down to significant research budget cuts.
You mentioned there's been some work stoppages. What programs are typically targeted?
We're seeing a variety of programs, and sometimes, just to be frank, it's hard to know what exactly prompted the freeze. And usually what the USDA will say is it's under review, and we've definitely had some things that have been under review and then released from that review and funding resumes. We have not gotten explicit instructions of what might be the reasons for stop work orders or funding freezes, which would be very helpful to know what the new terrain looks like.
The administration had been targeting diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. Now, on the agriculture side of things, sometimes we use those words like crop diversity, etc. Does that put a red flag up for USDA?
Well, once again, right now, we're not quite certain how stop work orders or freezes or even review processes, what is triggering that. We can make guesses. Of course, in the College of Ag and Life Sciences, we don't have very many things that are exclusively related to diversity of humans. You mentioned crop diversity. We certainly have many programs like that. I would say right now it's an intense time of waiting to see what the new rules are.
Let's shift the conversation now to the state level. You and I are talking at the Dairy Innovation Hub Symposium. That's exclusively supported by the state. The Joint Finance Committee is working on developing their version of a budget. What have you been hearing?
We know that the state is working on the budget, and we know that this process might take a little bit longer this year. That's what we're hearing. We're very excited that there's a potential for more funding for the Dairy Innovation Hub, which I personally think has incredible impact on the state of Wisconsin and on dairy. We are the dairy state. I love the fact that it's a collaboration between three campuses, Madison, Platteville, and River Falls. And I can't say enough good things about that collaboration. So we're excited about that aspect. And we're also realistic that the state government has to think carefully about budget matters.
Do you know the exact dollar amount that you're asking for and maybe what the governor proposed versus what you're hearing from leaders in the assembly and the Senate?
I do not know the exact dollar amount. I know that it's an increase, and any increase would be most welcome because it would help us expand Dairy Innovation Hub.
Graduation is behind us. What are some things that stood out to you this year among some of your agricultural students? What's hot right now in the job market? What's not? What have you noticed?
Well, I want to start by saying that young people that come to this campus and other campuses in the U.S. are just a joy to work with. They're smart. They really care about the world. They're going to do great things. They get involved in research and community projects. So it's just a joy to work with these young people, and I'm excited about the ways that they're going to transform society, science, agriculture. Another highlight, I think, of the year is we do have a new program at UW-Madison called Bucky's Pell Pathway. We had some really great students in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences that took advantage of that pathway. I know there was one young woman who would not have been able to come to Madison without that. She's from an agricultural farm family. So that has been a wonderful highlight this year.
What are some of the programs in CALS that you see as being some of the most popular?
I'm going to mention a summer program that we just are starting this year called Wisconsin Rural Scholars. And we are going to bring in students from rural areas. I think we're going to have 30 high school students and another something like 8 high school teachers come, and we're going to talk about agriculture and life sciences. And part of the program is to give students across the state exposure to this great land grant university, see what Madison is like, see what some of the careers they could build in CALS would be. Next fall, we are expecting another big class. We're going to have the largest class that we've had in over 15 years. So a banner year for admissions for the College of Ag and Life Sciences. We have a lot of students coming for animal and veterinary bioscience. Large animal veterinarians are in need, especially in the state of Wisconsin, so we're excited about that, and we're excited about exposing those students to lots of different type of animal careers. We have our new dairy and food animal management major, and so it's just getting started. We're going to welcome some students into that major. We're excited about that. We'll have a lot of life sciences students, students who want to study things like genetics and genomics, biochemistry, nutrition, dietetics, and we will also have students who are interested in the social sciences that impact our rural communities, in agricultural economics, that sort of thing.
Optimism at the College of Agricultural and Life Sciences at UW-Madison, despite some of the unknowns still facing research dollars from the federal level. Glenda Gillespie along with us, the Dean of CALS. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
Wrapping up a series on food as medicine on a hopeful note, today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. I've been telling you all this week about efforts around the country to counter the unhealthy eating trend in this country. While there's concern, there's also hope. Craig Gunderson is an economics professor at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, who moderated a recent Farm Foundation forum on the subject of food as medicine.
In the past 100 years, there's just been incredible growth in the agricultural sector. This has both been, you know, across farms and ranches across the United States, but globally. That's an amazing increase in agricultural productivity. And this is due to things like, for example, the Green Revolution that Norman Borlaug started, but also more recent things like the introduction of GMOs.
While several speakers during the forum talked about the repercussions of poor diets in many developed countries, Gunderson says we should not overlook how diets have improved in many parts of the world.
And along with this incredible transformation of the productivity of agriculture is that we also have this incredible distribution system. We're able to get food all around the world, and this has just led to amazing things. And probably the most important thing that's this led to is this really pretty dramatic decline in undernutrition and declines in food insecurity across the globe.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's what's happening on 105.5 FM.
We have copies of the new 2025 Wisconsin Rapids Area Visitor's Guides in our office. Stop by, grab yours during the regular weekday business hours of 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. If it's happening in the heart of Wisconsin, it's on 105.5 FM.
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Labor Day weekend, I was 17. I bought a Coke and some gasoline, and I drove out to the county fair. When I saw her for the first time, she was standing there in the ticket line, and it all started right then and there. Oh, say, the sky made a perfect sunset, and that's a day I'll never forget. I had a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. She was killing me in that mini skirt. Skipping rocks on the river by the railroad tracks. She had a suntan line and red lipstick.